Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
I want to ask you, do you owe it to your parents to look after them? And, you know, we heard the news today that Housing Minister James Brown, every time I hear it, he was on the news a few minutes ago, and every time I hear James Brown, I expect him to come on and go, I feel good. But anyway, he doesn't. He's considering introducing a raft of new planning exemptions, including attic conversions, subdivisions of existing dwellings, and home extensions to house elderly relatives without planning permission. It's not the first time laws on planning permissions were eased. Back in February of this year, laws were relaxed on the building of modular homes and log cabins in people's gardens. Currently, roughly 70,000 of our elderly people in Ireland wish to remain in their home until they pass away. While a minority of older people may need residential care at some point in their life, the vast majority can manage at home with support from family and friends and community services. Now, over the years, we've got lots of emails and letters from people who have moved their parents or relatives back into their home or had their in-laws move in. And they said it is the bane of their existence. Many of them. Some of them, I'm sure, think it's the most wonderful experience of their life. But many have said it's the bane of their existence. Primarily, we get emails from men saying, my wife wants to move her mother back in. But they are our parents. They brought us into this world. They changed our nappies. They fed us. They raised us. They gave us money. They paid for us. Do we owe them something? Should we be stepping up for our parents the same way they did for us? Now, many parents turn around and say, I don't want anything obvious. Just put me in a home. I don't want to be depending on other people. But the question I'm asking tonight is, do we owe it to our parents to look after them when they get old, to bring them into our own house, even though you have a family maybe with young kids and a husband? Do you owe it to them? Or would you do that? There are people thinking at home, absolutely no way am I having the mother-in-law coming to live with me. Not a chance. I would rather die. And there are people who believe that. That's fair enough too. I want to hear that opinion as well. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Let me go to Danielle first. Danielle, hi, how are you?
I'm good, Niall. How are you?
You know what it always says on my screen when you come on? It always says, I'm reading it here, Danielle, she's not called Daniel.
Exactly, and they're dead right.
They always put it under your name. Danielle, she's not called Daniel.
That's because
I called you Daniel once, didn't I?
Yeah, and you know, you've got it right so far.
I have, in fairness to me, yeah.
So you have, because people always call me Danny or Daniel.
Right.
And I won't tolerate it.
You're right not to tolerate it. Yeah.
Proud of my name, so I...
Yeah, it's the same way as, you know what irritates me greatly? When people call me Neil. Neil. Oh, it irritates... Mm. It used to irritate me in school so much because the teachers would call me Neil. And I used to go, why are you calling me Neil? He says, that's the Irish for Niall. I said, no, it's not. Niall and Neil are two separate names. There is Niall is an English name. When I say English, I'm obviously Irish, but it's an English name. You cannot just make it into Irish.
No. My name either doesn't translate either. No. So,
yeah, so just, but I'm sure in school they tried to, did they?
They tried, but they couldn't do it.
Anyway.
But you should be proud of your name, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I am proud of my name. Mm.
Good. Because it's the most brilliant name in Ireland.
Yeah. Oh, mind you, in the hospital where I was born, well, not hospital, in the orphanage where I was born, it was spelt on the original documentation, N-I-A-L, just with one L.
And,
but I spell it N-I-A-L with two L's. But on my original documentation, it was only one L for some reason. That's pretty odd. Anyway,
yeah,
Danielle, getting back to our parents, do we owe them something? I mean, if your mom is elderly and she's 65 or 70, do you have a duty and responsibility to bring her into your home and let her spend the rest of her days there and look after her?
You kind of do, I think. Well, my mom passed away, so
I'm sorry,
I only got
that.
My dad. That's okay. It was a long time ago. But, you know, I would, their family... And families are important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, because obviously people have lost, well, I've lost someone and whatever, but you can't force them either. You know, if
they get in the way, but the problem is for a lot of people, they kind of,
they
can be interfering and it can be, And then what happens when you want to go on holidays? And
exactly. You know, I would rather move in to their home rather than move them into my home.
How is that going to work if you're married with kids?
I'm not, so I'm okay.
But you're okay. But, you know, the average person obviously may be married with kids. How is that going to work?
It's not going to work.
No.
That's the thing. But, you know, but sometimes you have to make sacrifices.
Mm. And when you get older, would you like your kids to look after you?
Yeah, I would, yeah. You know, but they've no obligation to do it either.
No, I wouldn't. You know? I wouldn't want to be a burden. And I know that sounds terrible. I wouldn't want to be a burden on anybody.
Me neither. Like, but I will do my best to help out and do what I can. But if it comes to a point where they have to be moved into a home, like say if it was dementia and I wouldn't be able to handle that.
Mm.
It would be too much, and you also have to look after yourself as well. That's important as well.
But as they get older, they need more care, obviously. Many of them do, not all, obviously.
Yes.
But many need more care, particularly if they have dementia. And that can have a huge impact on a family.
Exactly. It can tear families apart.
I knew a guy many, many years ago. His wife moved the mother in, and she wasn't well. She had dementia, right? He moved her in. He said it was a nightmare. And he said, this sounds awful, but he said, I woke up every morning thinking, maybe she's dead today. And he said, that was my life, waking up every morning, hoping that she was going to die. He said, because it destroyed his marriage, destroyed his family. He couldn't do anything anymore. They couldn't even go out at night. He said, it was terrible. And he said,
What? I was just going to say, he wouldn't find time for his wife or his kids.
Yeah.
They couldn't, you know. It's tricky because some people are fine doing it,
mm-hmm.
taking their parents into their home. I know they brought us into this world, but we have to live our own lives at the same time.
But do we owe it to them? Because you're right, they did bring us into this world. They put a nappy on you and they fed you and they raised you and they paid for you.
You know, I've heard people saying over the years, oh, I didn't ask to be born. And that just...
That's a horrible thing to say, actually, isn't it?
I'm
very ungrateful thing to say.
Yes, and I'm going to the mic. Enjoy your life. You're here. You're only here once.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm looking at it from a compassionate point of view as well.
I mean, I probably have a better reason to say I didn't ask to be born, in a sense that, you know, I ended up in an orphanage. But in saying that, I still don't think like that. I'm still happy I was born.
I don't. And I'm happy you're born too, because you're the best broadcaster.
Ah, thank you, Danielle.
No, I sincerely mean that, because I'm listening to all these gobshites and they're just crap. Like, you're the only one I listen to anyway, so there you go.
Thank you.
You're, no problem. But I think, we do owe them a certain amount, but we don't owe them our lives.
Right. But then, you're kind of saying to me, there's a limit to what you would do. Like, if they were healthy and fine and they're independent, that'd be okay. But as soon as they become needy... Yeah. Is that what you're saying? If it's a problem?
Yeah, it would for me. But at the same time, the guilt would eat me up.
Right. If they were in a home?
Yeah. I couldn't do that. So I couldn't. I would feel like I'm just shoving them aside.
Well, a lot of people, elderly, who are in homes don't need to be in homes.
This is it. My dad is...
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad's still really independent. He's 70. He's only young, You know?
Yeah.
And he just takes off when he wants to. And he did say to me, do not put me in a home.
Yeah, I wouldn't. And I wouldn't like to be in a home.
I have to honour that wish as well.
So what happens when he gets to a point where he's not independent? What do? You'll have to take him in?
I'll have to, you know. It's because my love is so overbearing for him.
Yeah.
That makes sense to you.
I know it makes complete sense to me.
I want to do it, but if it becomes too much for me, I'll have to put him in somewhere, you know.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to.
I know. But how do you find that balance? It's so hard,
I don't want to be in a home. I'm just making that publicly clear. No, I don't want to be in a home.
That's fine. Yeah. We'll get that in writing. Ask Molly there to write that down.
Yeah, Molly, write it down. Niall doesn't want to be in a home.
There's
some lovely homes out there, but there's some dreadful ones as well. But there is some, but I wouldn't want to be sitting there staring out a window all day. You know what I mean?
But I wouldn't want that for anybody. You know, what do you do? You know, do you get carers to come into your home? That's the only other option I can see.
Mm-hmm.
So you give yourself some respite and stuff.
Stay there just for a second. Let me go to Bernie as well. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand, Niall. How are you tonight?
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank God.
Okay, so am I probably the elder of the two of you that are talking at the moment? And I my parents have died in the last 6 years. So my father got dementia and my mum was still alive. She couldn't manage him at home and she wanted him in the home. And he, once he adjusted, he was fine. He was very happy there. It was hard on us to go and visit him every week and trying to get a life. But she didn't want us to look after him at home. She didn't want him to be at home, but she couldn't manage him. And then when she fell ill herself, she didn't want anyone at home. She got carers, she wanted to be at home and she wanted to be looked after at home, but she didn't want she wanted us to go up and visit her and bring her food and, her shopping and, make sure that everything was kind of tidied and safe. But she didn't want us there 24 hours a day minding her. She didn't want any of that.
Why? Was it that line that I don't want to be a burden on anybody? Is that the way she felt? That's pride, isn't it? Pride is that.
Yeah. She said, she didn't want us there. Like, and she had to, there was a good load of us, there's a dozen of us, so she had plenty to pick from. Her opportunity was there, but she refused any of us. She wanted to pay for people to come in and help her. That's what she wanted. She demanded that. She said that we all had our own lives and we were all paying mortgages and she knew we had children and she didn't want that. And she said that, as long as she's able to wash herself at the sink and she was able to, make a cup of tea for herself and somebody come in and, maybe care for her in other areas, that she was happy with that.
Mm.
And me personally, I do not want my children looking after me. I don't. They're on their own life journey. They have their own children to rear, they have their own mortgage and their own bills. It's up to me as a responsible adult in this current climate to do the best to look after myself.
If you lack independence and you get to a point, Bernie, and I hope that doesn't happen to you for a long time, where you lack independence, do you believe that your children owe it to you to look after you?
No, absolutely not, Niall. They're making.
You were going to say they didn't ask me more.
They came into the world. I wanted them in the world. I was happy. I'm so proud to be a mother. But I didn't bring them in to be my slaves. I didn't bring them in here to be, oh God, now you owe me a big thing. No, they don't owe me anything. I wanted to have children. They're my pride and joy. They are the carriers of the next generation. And I don't want any of them to get caught up in this burden of guilt going, oh, we have to look after mom now. I have made sure that in my will that my daughters go in and see me in the hospital and I'm, not able to manage. I've told them to just put me in a home or put me in somewhere that they don't have to look after me. It's not their responsibility.
Mm.
My children are not responsible for me. I'm responsible for me no more than you are responsible for you. You have a partner, you have a husband, you have family, but they're not responsible for your full care of you all the time. You are responsible for yourself. You're on your own life journey, whether you like it or not. You can go and get advice, you can go get surgery, you can go to everything done to help you. It's up to you to make the changes.
I mean, would you agree with that, Eliad? It's up to you, basically, to make the changes. And you brought them into the world. They don't owe you anything. So you're saying obviously about your dad, but Bernie believes. Well, you don't owe him. You don't owe it to him. I'm sure he'd be delighted, but you don't owe it to him.
I do agree with what she said,
mm-hmm.
because it makes sense. Because parents want their kids; they want their kids to live their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
But still, that guilt would eat me.
But it doesn't have to be guilt. It doesn't have to be guilt. Your parents, they don't expect you to be there 24 hours a day, changing their nappies, changing their dressings. They don't expect that. They would love to see you and still be their daughter. You're going to still be their son. You're going to be still their brother. You're going to still be part of their family, but they don't want you at that part where you've given up your life for them. They don't want that. I know as a mother, I don't want my children giving up their life, be looking after, me in the corner my life is mine. And I'm not putting myself on them. It's not fair on them.
No, you're right, Bernie. Do you know that?
And my mother and father taught me that. And my mom had a broken neck. She didn't want any of us. She didn't want any of us around her. She was able to talk to us on the phone every day. She was able to read her magazine. She had a wheelchair to bring her around from the bathroom and everything. She didn't want us doing that. She didn't feel that we needed to do that. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, see, there's part of, I understand everything everybody is saying, and I understand both points of view, but I still harp back to this mate of mine. And he was a really nice guy, by the way. He wasn't a bad person, right? You might think he was a bad person by what he said. But, and he said to me, he says, Niall, he says, my marriage is on the rocks. He says, we don't get to enjoy life anymore. He said, we don't go out. We do hardly go on holidays. We can't because somebody has to mind. She had no siblings, I believe, that could mind her mother. Her mother was 70. And I believe, by the way, she wasn't completely not independent or anything like that. You know, she had, I think, the onset of dementia. And he said, I used to wake up every morning hoping she was dead. That's a terrible thing to say. But that's how it was affecting his life.
But have you met?
Go ahead, Bernie.
But isn't it awful sad that he dreaded life like that so badly, and his family broke up because of it? That's not what his mother would have ever wanted. Had she known, had she been in control of her faculties and her memory, she wouldn't have wanted that for her child. Nobody would want that for their child.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was her. It was actually her mother, not his mother. Her mother.
Sorry,
yeah.
But all parents want is the best for their kids, you know, to live a full life and not to be a burden to their kids, as Bernie was saying. And they need to know you're there, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me just go to Sharon before the break, if I can, because Sharon, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. Good, thanks.
Sharon, do we owe it to our parents? Bernie says no, we kind of don't.
It's not black and white. Unfortunately, there are some grey areas. Bernie makes great sense. But I think that when it comes to dementia, I would have it definitely in my will. I wouldn't want my daughter looking after me with dementia, you know, and I wouldn't know where I was anyway. So just, you know, I'd have to be cared for professionally. Now, if it was something where I was in my perfect mind, I would rather just have, say, a carer come in or a home help and hopefully get by myself. But I would expect some help from my daughter, but not to the stage where she was having to give up her life, you know. And I'm kind of in a situation like that at the moment because I have somebody in my life who is like a mother to me, who kind of adopted me about 15 years ago. And we've had some great times together, but now she needs my support and she supports me too, you know. But I'm there for her and I do everything I can, you know, to make things easier for her. And we have great chats and great times and we cry and we laugh and we go through everything together. But she does have support, like she does have care, you know, home help's coming in and that. But she's my best friend and I love her. She's older than me, but she was there for me when I needed her. So it's not a black and white thing.
But
there are some grey areas.
I mean, you're in a slightly different situation that I don't think you've got young children.
No.
And so the family dynamic is different. Do you know what I mean? Like, if it was a case that you're a youngish couple with young children, that could be then a problem.
The dynamic is very important, Niall, because no matter whose mother it is, both people have to agree, because it can be difficult people who are very difficult to deal with. And then you could have somebody who is in who would be easy and would fit in with the family and it would work out very well. So you can see there's no hard and fast rule. It really has to be decided per individual family.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen both. I've seen a mother or a father move in who was a nightmare to live with. And then I've seen ones move in that they enhanced the family and they were able to take some weight off the, you know, they were able to be with the grandchildren. And I've seen both work, but it has to be discussed and agreed by both parties. And when it comes to dementia, no. I think with dementia, people need professional care for their own sake as well as everyone else.
Mm.
But I do know people who have people at home and they're looking after them, and they've gone into hospital with dementia and they've come out of hospital with dementia, and whatever treatment they got has made them okay to live at home, you know? So it just depends on how bad
it is. Somebody just sent a very interesting text, and they said, my mother died with Alzheimer's. I just wonder if there is a heaven, you regain your memory. I suppose you do if there is a heaven, if people who believe in a heaven. You know?
Mm.
I spoke to a guy one night who was a neurologist, and he specialized in Alzheimer's, dementia, which is an umbrella term, and he specialized in that. And he was talking about all the different aspects of it and how they don't know. You think they know a lot about it, but it's only the tip of the iceberg. It's so deep, right? It's basically what happens is as you get older, the cells in your brain don't replenish as quick as they're dying. And that's where you start to lose your memories, or they believe that that's where you start to lose your memories. But he said they could be wrong. He said because they've no way of understanding exactly how the brain works and how the memories work. And the most interesting part that I thought was that he was saying that maybe, just maybe, the people with Alzheimer's are sitting there, are fully cognitive inside their mind. They know exactly who you are. They know exactly what's going on. They can remember everything. They have just no way of communicating it to the world. They've lost the ability to do that or to bring those memories forward. Do you understand?
That's awful.
There's
so much research going on there. I'm very fascinated by the research they're doing and the different inroads they're making, because it doesn't affect everybody. It seems to be very individual to the person. Mm. It doesn't seem to be so one umbrella fits everybody. Like, you could have a facet of it and be perfectly normal, but you might know where your keys are, you know, but you might know about everything else. So it's a very, very disease that is so varied in its presentation. You know, you might have it and not even nobody realizes you have it till, you know, you don't turn up at home one day. Like, it's such an and we all fear it because it's the memory. It's the things we hold on to the most. That we're all terrified.
Yeah, you could live with a broken leg, or you could live with a limp, or you know, whatever. But once your mind starts to go, you start to lose everything.
Isn't that why they say you should do crosswords, you should do hobbies, things that make your brain work harder?
I'll stand on my head.
I'll be a talk show host.
I'll stand on your head every morning.
Agnes, hi. Say there, Sharon and Bernie. Agnes, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. I'm good. How are things?
Good. Agnes, do we owe it to our parents, no matter what their condition happens to be they healthy or be they, you know, unwell or infirm, do we owe it to them? To look after them when they get older?
No, we don't owe it to them, but I think if you've a close, you know, it all depends on relationship, but if you have a close bond and you have a good relationship, I think it's just a kindness, you know what I mean? They raised you, and I think it's repaying the kindness, but no, you don't have to do it, but I think if you can do it and you want to do it, I think it's a very good thing, but equally, if you don't, it's, you know, you shouldn't feel guilty about it, do you know what I mean?
You cared for your own dad, yeah.
I did. I cared from here, terminal cancer, and I cared from towards the end. Yeah.
Oh gosh, I'm sorry to hear that. And is your dad still with us?
No, he passed away. It's coming up in 11 years this year.
Oh, okay, sorry to hear about that. And at the time when you cared for him, were you in a relationship or kids or anything like that? Or
no, I was actually a single mum.
Okay.
I was a single mum. I had been a single mum for, my son was about 3.5, 4 when he was diagnosed, and I'd actually been estranged from my dad for a number of years, and it was actually, we hadn't had a very good relationship for about 10 years, but we kind of came back together.
Reconnected again.
And roles reversed. Instead of him looking after me, I looked after him, but we became very close, and he was very close to my son, and it was the hardest kind of 3, 4, 5 years of my life, but it was the best thing I've ever done. It's one thing I will never regret, you know what I mean? It was hard at the time, like, but I would do it all over again in a heartbeat, you know what I mean?
And what do you say to people who find that dynamic difficult to deal with? Like, say, you know, a husband and his wife brings the mother-in-law into the house at 65. Now, maybe she's reasonably healthy, you know, needs a bit of help. 70 maybe needs a bit of help, but she's kind of maybe a little bit interfering in the family. And all of a sudden, then everything has to be consideration for her. If they're going on holidays, if they're whatever, we can't leave her on her own. And it just kind of changes the whole dynamic of a family, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Like, you know, definitely. But I think boundaries need to be set, because I know when I was training my father, there was this particular instance where he tried to reprimand my son. And I had to say to him, you know what I mean?
That's not your job.
Your place. He's my son. You know what I mean? you know, when he's with you and you're in charge, I'm fair enough. But when I'm there, I'm the parent. You know, you have to set the boundaries. I think once the three people need to sit down and they need to set out the rules. And then with regard to holidays and stuff, maybe they can take some holidays together, or maybe they can organise a carer or someone else to come in that she can have a holiday away from them as well, because she needs time away from them just as much as they need time away from her. Mm-hmm. It's all about giving each other space. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about. Because if you're with each other 24/7, you are going to want to kill each other. Do you know what I mean? That's just, that's natural. It's just normal, like, you know what I mean? You get in each other's nerves. It's unavoidable. You know what I mean? And then the stress of appointments and medicine and everything else.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it'll either make you or break you. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. If you don't have, time out, whether it be, I used to go for walks. That was my thing. I used to leave my son with him and I used to go for an hour's walk every day and I used to pound the road. And that was my time to clear my head.
You know, get rid of all those frustrations. Yeah,
when I was frustrated, I used to go, I have to go for my walk, and that was it. But it works, you know what I mean? You have little things like that, you know what I mean? You have to do that. Like, and you have maybe a certain, have a key word that, you know what I mean? And when someone's about to boil, before you snap, say, have a word that when you say the word and you walk around, the other person knows that you just need 5 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, safe word. Yeah, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I've heard of that, all right. Yeah, I mean, Sharon, that sounds kind of good enough, but I know Agnes is a different dynamic. She was a single parent. So, you know, you don't have a husband in the situation and there wouldn't be three children in the situation. There was one child. But do you think, listen to Agnes, that you could do that? Do you think, now I know it was only 3 years, and for some people it goes on a lot longer than 3 years, but do you think you could do that, Sharon?
Look after a parent in that situation. Yeah, I do. I do.
And it wouldn't drive you crazy?
If the person was a difficult person, it might be difficult, but I've dealt with situations like that in the past. And I just got hobbies and went out and got my away from home time. And that did help. I have had a bit of a experience of those situations.
See, yeah, I want to go back to Bernie as well. Bernie, you said your kids don't owe you anything, but Agnes's father didn't think that Agnes owed her anything. She just decided to do it. And that's what most people do in that situation. So, like, what would you do if you suddenly got into that situation where you needed help and your daughter or your son said, "That's it, ma'am, I'm moving in with you"? Would you say no?
I would. I'm sorry, but I am. I'm that person who would say, I'm stubborn. And I know my background is nursing, so I'd be very independent and be, you know, I'd be hopefully able to give up my own tablets and, you know, make my own bed. Those kind of things. If I needed help with them, I'd get somebody to give me a hand, all right. But I would not ask my son to move in with me. And I wouldn't, if my daughter or son said, I'd say, no way.
So what are you going to do? Eventually then end up in a home?
Well, if that's where I have to end up, if I go gagas, because dementia's in my family, and, you know, let's be hoping that I don't get it, but you never know. We don't know what the genetic background of any of these diseases are. If I have to go into a home, I've enduring power of attorney to my family, and I've said, do what you think is best. Sell the house, put me in the home. I do not want them responsible.
Shoot me, put me down.
I have to make that decision myself. If it's a thing that I'm terminal and all those things, I have to revisit my thoughts. But at the moment in time, my children are not responsible for my health.
But maybe they want, yeah, but maybe you're saying they're not responsible. I know you've a good family, and I know you all love each other very much. And maybe they'd want to do that. Maybe it's not your choice. Maybe they'd want to do it. They say, "Shut up, ma'am, we're doing it."
No, but I've had this conversation because my son-in-laws, and they think, "Oh, you can move in with me." No, because I'm fit and agile. So they don't see it as at the moment they're saying, "Oh yeah, you can come and live with us." And I said, "No." And I've been saying this since they built their own houses or moved into their own houses. They're all saying, "Well, mom, we'll put something at the back." And I'm going, "No. Please stop putting me in your equation. You have children in your equation. They're your life. They're your family. I'm not your responsibility. I'm not. I'm over 21 and so are they."
Is that a fair point, Agnes? And a lot of parents feel like that. I don't want to be a burden on my kids.
Yeah, I suppose the only difference, I never actually said, I apologize to explain myself properly. The only time, me and my son didn't live with my dad until the final 6 months. Before that, we lived in two separate houses.
Oh, okay.
But I spent hours, I went over morning and evening, okay, and then at weekends. But then it was the last 6-8 months when we actually physically moved in together. So we had that bit of space. But No, I think Bernie's great. Like I listen to Bernie all the time, and I admire her for everything she's done. Do you know what I mean? I had family in healthcare. Like, I admire anyone that profession, and she's looking at it from a completely different perspective. But I just all I'll say to her from a daughter's point of view, it's the want is there. Do you know what I mean? Like I come from a family. There were six kids. And I was I wasn't the only one. There was me and one other, but I was the one who was closest to him. Do you know what I mean? And it just, I don't know, we were very alike, and we just always got on. You know what I mean? And it just was a natural fit, and we just worked. Do you know what I mean? Whereas the rest of my sisters, they just didn't get on with him. They couldn't tolerate him. Whereas we just gelled together very well, and we got along very well. We're very, very similar, I think. Do you know?
Yeah.
It just worked for us.
Yeah, like. I'm kind of like Bernie. In a sense that I don't think I'd want to be, I don't want to use the word burden, because that just sounds wrong, doesn't it? You know,
yeah,
I just don't want to be an inconvenience to anybody else.
Yeah, no, it's understandable.
I'd feel bad being an inconvenience to anybody else, you know?
Like, I mean, I hear sometimes even when they're down there, they say, Mom, do you want them to eat? And I'm going, I can make my sandwich.
Do you want us to feed you, Mom?
Yeah, but see, I'm the same. But I'm the world's worst. Like, I do charity work and I help other people. But then when I'm sick, I refuse to take help. But sometimes you have to. It's not even about accepting. Well, it is about accepting help. But it's their way of showing. Like, my father, he died when I was 36. He never once told me he loved me. Actually, physically told me he loved me, and he never hugged, because he'd never had it as a child. He didn't come from that thing. He never once told me he loved me or hugged me or kissed me. But he done it by his actions. He done it by being there and doing little things for me. And that's how we showed love, because that was the way he was reared. Mm. So that was his way of showing me he loved me, and vice versa. Do you know what I mean? That was our way of showing. So that's what your kids are doing to you. That's by asking you to make a sandwich. It's their way of saying they love you without having to be mushy and all the rest of it. You know, they're still trying to keep their cool and everything else. Do you know what I mean? It's their way of showing they mum, I love you.
Of course they love her. Who couldn't love Bernie, for God's sake? I mean, you know what I mean?
Exactly. We adore her. Like, she's an angel. Like.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, well.
Thank you, but I'm not.
Well, yeah, you are a bit of an angel, Bernie. And all your life, by the way, you've given to other people, you know, but working as a nurse, etc., etc.
Take the credit, Bernie. You deserve
it. Yeah, take it.
You deserve it. You deserve the praise. Like,
thank you. But I'm just saying, as a nurse, as being a nurse, it was a privilege to look after some of the people. I mean, to meet people and if they're worse than struggling. And if you could do anything at all, even give them a glass of water, I felt I was privileged to be able to do that for somebody else's family.
So he says, Niall, I think this is slightly insensitive conversation. I'm currently in this situation. Well, not quite yet. But my wife has suggested that we move her mother in, and we have had numerous arguments over the last 6 weeks. What should I do? But why are you telling me it's an insensitive conversation when you're looking for advice on the matter, for God's sake? Let me go to Alan, if I can, first, and Anne, I'll be with you straight after that. Alan, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall.
Alan,
well, I think, Niall, we're in a situation now in the modern world where we have a documentary on tonight on RTE.
I've seen the trailer for it, yeah.
And, Niall, the state of care in this country for geriatric care is probably abysmal. And we're only tipping the iceberg with that documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Old people, when they're sidelined because they're no longer contributing to society's financial well-being. And when you reach 66, you're seen as a burden on the economy. And to me, parenting, if you invested in your children and you love your kids and you give them the best of chances, like your own family now, right, where you put all your efforts into your children and you give them the best education, and then they go off on their own, then they make their own way in life. We're rearing kids now without the care and responsibility of the people that brought them into the world. Because it's a me generation. It's all about what we want rather than what the collective wants. And when my ma was dying, she was 92 when she died. She had a bit
good
of
age.
Dementia.
Yeah.
Now, she had 14 kids now, and she got on great with one of my sisters. And my mother was in hospital at the time, and it was around at the COVID time. Remember the COVID?
Yeah.
And my sister just went into the hospital without permission. In other words, you had all the red tape and bureaucracy at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And just put me mat in a wheelchair and wheeled her out of the hospital and brought her home to die at home.
You know what? And I admire her for doing that. That was the right thing to do at that particular time in her life. Yeah.
The gas thing was nine. We asked her by 3 months living with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a difficult time for me sister, because me mad sometimes went on rants. She didn't know what she was saying. She thought people were taking her out of her home and know all that usual thing they have with their dementia. But what I feel, Niles, is that we have lost a human touch about our parents. But the generation of self-conservation and 2 cars and 2 jobs and going on 2 holidays a year, parenting is not for those who gave us life. It's only for the immediate children. And when we look at our parents and see them as put them into a home, that's the type of situation that's spread into us now. Parents are there to be only looked after when they're contributing to us. And as soon as they get of age and they have problems, put them in a home.
Because they're inconvenient.
And to me, Niall, that's the saddest story. And what's coming out tonight on RTE is a tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I have it recording. I haven't watched it yet, obviously, but I've seen the trailers for it. And it's
Niall.
This is not the first time Primetime have done this. They've done it about 7 years ago, and it was shocking as well.
Yeah, that one they did when Mary Harney was Minister for Health.
Mm.
And it showed you, Niall, what goes on.
Was it that long ago when Mary Harney was Minister of Health? Was it that long ago?
It's a good while ago, Niall. It's a good while ago.
Okay.
Mary Harney, I remember she was Minister for Health. And there was no shock. It was just like a shock at first, because we saw things that really made you really say, what the damn hell is going on in the health service? And then private healthcare facilities are just there to take money off the elderly and give them a quick outlet. Neglect them as much as you can and let them die.
I don't think the intention is to neglect people. I think what happens in some cases, and not all, I'm sure there are some good homes too, I think what happens in some cases is bad staffing levels, bad management.
Niall, I can understand that for a while, Niall. Bad staffing levels and... But Niall,
bad management.
If done a documentary, a random documentary about that one out in there. I can't remember the name of the home that was...
Okay, we're doing best not mention any names just for the moment in case you get it wrong, but go on.
It was on RTE. And they showed you people getting punched, clattered, reefed. Now, that's one they picked...
I remember there was one horrible one that a woman was left lying for the whole day in her own feces and urine.
Well, Niall... Yeah. If that's what RTE picks one at random and it's that bad, you can be sure there's a lot more places like that out there.
Oh no, I'm not doubting that for a minute, Alan. And that's, you know, a
lot
people of
people that are on the radio now discussing they wouldn't look after their parents, them people.
But Bernie is saying she is a parent, you know, and you know, Bernie's mature like myself. And yourself, Alan, I suppose, at this stage of your life. You know, she said...
54.
Yeah, she doesn't want her kids looking after.
Well, I'll tell you something there. I'll just be honest with you, Niall. That's an ingrained pride. That's proudness that is not healthy, because we need to humble ourselves, and we're all going to get old, Niall, if we're lucky. If we're not lucky, sometimes it's unlucky to get old in this country. I'd rather die in my sleep when I'm in my 60s and not end up in an old folks' home where I could be punched around and left in my feces. We need to educate our children to think more compassionately.
Okay, let me ask Bernie just before I come to Anna. Bernie, is that pride that stops you?
I'm sure. We all have a case of pride, every one of us. We don't want to be only doing our best, to be in our best health, to be in our best way. That's pride. You know, we want to give of our best, we want to do our best, but we don't want to lose our pride. But I don't want my children, it's not pride. I just don't want my kids to be looking after me. They have their own families and their own responsibilities. They're on their own life's journey. I don't know what's around the corner for any of my children. None of us do. And I don't want to be that extra piece that has to be added on. God forbid if one of my kids gets sick themselves. and they have to rely on their children and their family. Again, I can't. I'm not making them all on take in your granny as well. No way.
Well,
that's not happening.
Yeah, sorry, Alan. Respond to that if you want to quickly.
Famous song, Niall, that came out years ago? The Cat and the Cradle and the Silver Spoon.
Yeah.
Now, Niall, we're reaching that level where, as parents, we do our best for our kids, as you know, and you give them their education and their secondary education and then third level, and they go off to get careers. If they're lucky, they become stable citizens and they get on with their lives and whatever. But what we have now is a cut-off point of our humanity. Our humanity has been auctioned off at the highest bidder, where we say to people, oh, well, you know, that's our mother of 80 and she looked after you for years and now she's old and she's known to look after her, so we're going to put her in a faceless home where anything could happen to her. That's the generation that will end up in worse situations than their parents.
But millions of people worldwide end up in homes. And many of those homes, I personally said I wouldn't want to be in a home, but many of those homes are well run. Many of them
Now,
don't get me wrong. They will never get the love and respect that they get with their family that they're going to get in the home, clearly.
Niall, I'll just put it to you like this, Niall, right? If children find it hard to give care to their parents when they're old, if they're lucky. Like, you're 62 now, yeah?
In September, yeah.
Right. So, now, just supposing, just use this as a major example of what I'm trying to get to you with. Now, you know, Niall, your kids are reared off. They're all probably living in apartments and doing great, and they're all happy kids.
Mm-hmm.
Just supposing, Niall, you get a form of young man's Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
When you're young, it's a very rare situation where it happens.
Okay.
Now, Niall, have we lost touch with ourselves as a society where we see a parent as not our business? When did that become normalised? It's not my business to look after me parents. When did we start thinking like that? When did we see our parents as just, well, they gave us everything, well, we don't have to give out and back to them?
I don't know when that happened. The 1990s?
I think it was the 90s, Niall. The boom, where everything was up for auction. Our soul was up for auction. Everything was money. And we lost the one of ourselves. And all them private homes, Niall. You said that there's some good ones out there, Niall, right?
If you're wealthy.
I can promise you this, Niall Boylan. If I went out to any random home and put a camera in me hidden away, I went into any home saying I was walking there. I got a job, just there pretended to get a job like RTE did. I can promise you, Niall, I would see the same neglect that's on RTE tonight, because it's across the board. Old age people are seen as an inconvenience.
Okay.
And we might as well wash our hands of them and leave them in homes. And
okay,
we'll go and visit them once we get to rotten what we
okay,
do.
Okay, hang on, Alan, because I need to go to Anne before I finish today on this topic. Oh. Sorry, Alan, I know you've been waiting ages and I do apologise.
Now, I have a different dilemma, Niall. My husband is 87. We're 60 years married this year.
Congratulations.
He has dementia for the last 7 years.
Okay. And you're looking
now
after
he's
him.
At home. Just the two of us here living. I have four kids, but they're all in their 50s.
Okay.
So I haven't got, and this now I'm telling you this the truth. I haven't had one carer, one nurse, nothing walk through my door, and I'm all the time asking. I met Micheál Martin when they were going before elections and everything. Oh, you should have this and you should have that. I know that, but I'm not getting anything. And for me to put him in a home, I have done the fair deal thing and all that. And on top of that, Niall, they want me, and there's only him and I here, they'll take his pension and they want me to pay $250 a week.
So how are you?
Now, where's the fairness in that?
Where are you going to get £250 a week?
That would be my pension gone.
Yeah.
And how would I get in to see him or anything? You know, that's we're living with now because we're old.
That's criminal. That's actually criminal.
Yeah. Well, he's 87 and I'm 81, Niall. And I'm not in the best of health myself, but I have to be here. There's only the two of us.
That breaks my heart to hear you say that.
Because we have our own home, they want me to pay $250 a week. And I appealed it, and they still said, no, we don't go on what bills are that you have to pay. We go on
So in other words, you arrange for the Fair Deal scheme. So they're basically going to take the house, take his pension, and they also want to take yours as well.
Exactly.
That's just greed, isn't it? That's just greed.
Well, I don't know what it is, Niall, but I mean, you're not allowed to have anything in this country. I'm not allowed to have savings. Do you know what I mean? I have it there to bury us. I even sent in things I got for, you know, two burials, two funerals, quotations. No, they don't take them into consideration.
Oh, God.
So I have the money to bury us.
I'm listening to what Alan was saying earlier on there. You know, when did we lose our humanity? I reckon around the 90s. And we've lost our humanity completely, haven't we?
Well, we're 60 years married. And as I say, we've four kids. They're all abroad and what have you. But
and how are you managing looking after them? I'm sure that's
I'm not, Niall, to be honest. But I'm sick going down and asking them in the centre to get help. I was down there one day, going back a few months ago, nearly crying. And I still never got a call from a nurse or nobody. And he goes now for daycare once a week. That's it.
And are you doing everything for him?
Everything. Yes, everything.
I know you love him and you wouldn't have it any other way. But saying that, it takes a personal toll on you as well.
Oh, exactly. I'm dragged down to the ground now. I'm wrecked. Absolutely. I was in the hospital, actually, myself on Sunday night because I was that bad with blood pressure.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Anne, can you do me a favour? Because I want to talk to you a bit more, but I have to go into the news, right?
Yes, okay.
And Alan and Bernie, if you could stay there as well. Thank you very much, Agnes, as well, for your story too. But I want to come back to you after the break, Anne. Would that be okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so, and I'm sorry for keeping you so long tonight, really interested. I want to get back to your story, all right? That's terrible. That's kind of shocking, isn't it? It's the world we live in now. Micheál Martin at our door, looking for our vote. You know, she tells him what's going on in her house. And he does nothing about it. Now, I don't expect him to do that there and then, but his aide could have taken her phone number, her number, and helped out in some way. What a shocking, shocking. Now, on another note, I have to be honest, I'm really saddened to hear Anne's story before the break. Anne, are you still there? Yeah, you're back here.
I am. Yeah, I am. And by the way, Niall, I'm not the only one. I know plenty of people in the same position, but some people get everything.
What did Micheál Martin? I'm assuming he was coming around looking for votes during the election. Yeah,
it was before the elections. Yeah, and I met him in the street.
Yeah,
and I stopped to talk to him, and he couldn't believe, you should have this and you should have that. And the other fella was with him, you know, the fella that was the Minister for Health.
Oh, yes, Stephen Donnelly.
From Greystones, yeah. He was with him. Oh, yes, I'd introduce to him, he'll take all the details.
And did he?
Which he did, which I never heard another word about.
Ah, sure, why would you? It's an election. They were just looking for your vote.
Exactly.
I'm just curious, did you vote for him, by the way? I'm just curious now.
I did not, no. I don't have time, Niall.
Yeah. Well, but I'm sure you didn't have time to go down and vote. And your husband now at this stage, at what point is he at? Like, is he reasonably coherent? Does he know who you are?
Oh, he knows who I am, yes. Okay. But as regard conversation or anything, no, he's... he had a stroke. That's what brought on all this after.
Right, okay. And was that long? When did he have the stroke? Was that a long time ago?
7 years ago.
Oh, okay. Okay, and it all started from there.
It all starts from there then, yeah.
It must be so devastating for you. And I know you love him dearly, but you just want the best for him.
Of course. There's times I could choke him, but...
I'm sure there is.
You know,
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, but as I say, I'm in it, and as I say, there's times when I could just wish I could just stay in bed and just think it was all a dream.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you
I know.
This is it.
But and all you want is a rest every now and again.
Exactly. You know,
the break.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Bernie, sorry, I'll come back to Alan in a second, but Bernie, you worked in hospice care at one stage, didn't you, as well?
I did, and I'm so sorry to hear her story. I really am, and I wish I could help.
And I wish, I'm so ashamed of the way our country treats our older people in that regard. Like, it's not acceptable. It's, you shouldn't have to do anything, only you shouldn't have to pay anything. You've paid your whole life. You've worked your whole life. You've done everything. And this is all right. And the government should be ashamed of themselves. And I'm really sorry that you're in such an awful position. And you have to look after yourself as well in this. It's important. And well, I'm so, I wish I could help. I really, really feel bad.
And that's, by the way, that's the way I feel. I actually feel guilty, and I don't know why, but I feel bad that I live in a country and I share the same space as Anne and a government who don't care. Because here's the thing, if Anne's husband had to go into, you know, public health care, or had to go into, you know, a hospital or take up a bed in a hospital, it costs the state money. They have to have a nurse to look after him, you know, they have to have a bed, they have to have space for him, all costs money, right? She's doing it for them. She's saving them the trouble of doing all that by doing it herself. But all she wants is help.
But also, I'm really concerned that Anne herself has already ended in with high blood pressure. Like, did nobody see that? I mean, they should hang their heads in shame, you know, going on and ramping on about some random stuff that they have no care about. It's the people they're looking at. These are the people we should be looked after.
Mm. Yeah. Well, this is it. I have to bring him everywhere, Bernie. I have to bring him for hospital appointments, bring him to doctor's appointments, add him down today for an ECG.
Wrong. I'm so sorry. It's wrong. I'm ashamed of myself. You know, here I am as an able-bodied person, and there is nothing I can't go, you know, I'd love to go down and help you. But, you know, what can I do? Like, I'm not, you know, where am I? You know, does the health and safety rubbish, all this bullshit they come up with.
Mm.
It's wrong.
Yeah. Alan, this is what you were talking about. When did we lose this empathy? Mind you, I don't know whether if Anne back in the 1990s or 1980s would still be in the same position she's in now. You know what I mean?
Well, Niall,
65. See, we got married.
I just want to say to Anne, she's a remarkable woman, and she doesn't deserve this. But there's a problem that I don't mind asking Anne this question. Does any of our kids ever ring her or come over to stay with her for a few weeks?
I know they ring, all right. But I mean,
how far is one of your kids? You're in Australia.
Australia, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, you see, the thing is, Niall, them kids in Australia should be thinking of their mother and the stress that she's going through, and decide to come over to Ireland and look after their granddad.
That's kind of easier said than done sometimes when people.
No,
Alan, to be fair, okay, they're obviously older. They're in their 40s and 50s, right? But they might have family, kids in schools and colleges.
Yeah, I know. You have to make sacrifices, Niall. And when does a parent who's 81 and our husband's 87, they haven't got... Now, I'm not saying Anna's going to die, and I'm just saying she's not a young woman anymore. She's old and she needs rest. And the one thing that we're missing now with this question is parents not having care from their children. No matter how far your children are away from you, Australia or Timbuktu...
Alan, that's a fair question, right? But here's the thing. If those kids are not available, and if they're not, for whatever reason, they live far away, they're just disconnected, whatever it happens to be, the state has a duty and a responsibility to treat every citizen under the Constitution equally.
Well, Niall, I was talking tonight about the current affairs that's on RTE.
Mm.
And if the access to care is bad and neglectful, and then if you need care, it's neglectful, and putting her to one side. Anne has been put aside because Anne...
She's been ignored. She's been ignored.
Yeah. Now,
by the way, she does have an alternative, Plan B, and that is to be ripped off by the state.
Yeah, the one thing that can only happen is that the pressure that Anne is under from the stress levels that she's going through with her poor husband, Anne is going to probably have a heart attack from the stress.
Oh, God, don't say that about poor Anne. Jeez.
No, I'm not saying
I could have had it the weekend, Niall, because my blood pressure was that high.
Yes, yeah, you need to look after yourself, Anne. Yeah, sorry, Alan, finish yourself.
The fact is, Niall, Anne is a commodity to the government. They see her as the stepping stone that they can make money out of, so they let her struggle until she drops. And then they'll have to go into the house. If Anne is gone, if Anne dies suddenly, then the husband will be taken into a home, and that's the only time the government will come on board. If you're hanging off by a thread, the government won't intervene because you're saving them money.
And that's exactly what I was saying to you, Anne. You're saving the government money.
And your only
way out of that is to buy your way out of it by leaving yourself literally broke. And that's not acceptable. That's completely unacceptable.
This is it. Exactly. As I say, that's the position I'm in at the moment. I have applied for nursing home, but I can't pay $250 a week.
Now, I guarantee you, there's junior ministers or deputies or maybe TDs or whatever somewhere in the country listening to this show. And not one of them will ring in. Not one of them will contact us. Because they know it's shameful, absolutely shameful, the way we treat people in this country. And when people really need help, they don't get it.
This is it. I mean, I'm not looking for anything off them. I have my own house. Well, we have it since the 60s. We got married and we bought our own house and everything. And now that's the way we are. We're neglected.
Well, it would be nice to have home help coming in once a day and, you know, have a nurse coming in once a day to check your blood pressure and his and to check his heart and, you know, and then to give you some respite. So, I mean, maybe, you know, for 4 weeks of the year, to take him into care so you can go, you know, yourself and have a bit of a break.
Yeah.
Take him away at a weekend maybe or something. That'd be nice.
He is entitled to respite, but I put him in there and he hates it. And I end up taking him out.
Okay.
You know.
This is the situation Anna's in. Anna's going to have to make up a choice, a cold-hearted choice like the government is going on like, and realise that she has a certain amount of years left of happiness and she's looking after her husband full-time and our health is deteriorating. And so there's going to be two dead in the house.
Oh, don't say that, Jase. I'm worried sick about poor Anna. I'm worried sick about her anyway.
No, I'm just telling you, Niall, this is the cold heart fact. They spent $4 billion on them refugee council and came for refugees coming into the country. And yet we have a woman there who's reared her kids and seen them off all over the world and she's left struggling on her own. That is shameful. That's an affront to the country.
No, you're right. $4 billion a year to put people in IPAS, accommodation in IPAS centres. It works out at roughly, what is it they say, it's just over 3,000 per month per asylum seeker just for accommodation. That's not including food, catering, and every other, all the money they get or whatever. Just for accommodation. It's a rip-off. We're being robbed. And yet, you are right, the most vulnerable in society, be it children needing mental health care, whatever it happens to be, and people like Anne, you know, who are looking after their husbands, get no help whatsoever. Or very little.
Niall, I get $150 a week carer's allowance. That's what I get.
That is disgraceful. And won't buy your health, Anne, and your mental health. And it won't buy you back the tiredness you go. And the tiredness you're feeling on every hour and having to hope he's asleep for next and making his tea and feeding him and chain all the things you're doing, that's not €1,000 a week wouldn't cover it.
I'm sure she'd gladly sacrifice the $150 if somebody else would come in and help her.
Exactly.
Okay, well listen, unfortunately I've run out of time in it. And listen, I really, really wish you well. And I tell you what, I am going to look into it further. If they don't contact us, I'm going to try and contact one or two of them. And I'm going to get Molly just to get, well, we have your phone number anyway, so I'll get Molly just to hang on to that and pass it on to me, and I'm going to look into it personally, all right?
All right, Niall, I appreciate that.
Shame them, please do.
Yeah, well, I don't have to shame them. They shame themselves on a daily basis, to be honest with you, Bernie. Alan, listen, thank you very much indeed, Bernie. Thank you, Anne. Thank you very much indeed, and I wish you well. And Jesus, make sure you keep your own health good, Alan. That's the most important thing. Your husband needs you too, of course.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.